Praise the Lord. Good to have you with us tonight. Amen. Good to have some of those wayward people that was out and about, traveling all over the highways, seeing how the interstate system works, and the air travel, Brother Adair. Amen. Good to have you all back. And miss you while you're gone, especially when you're all gone at one time. Oh, my. Amen. Let's stand. We'll go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Amen. Sister Erica is doing quite a bit better, so the Lord's really helping her. So if you would, just continue to pray for Erica. And they've been progressing her along, and she's responding well. So let's continue to pray for Erica. Yeah. Amen. We're excited about that. John Winberry's in the hospital. And remember him in prayer. And he was asking about you, Brother Adair. So I told him you'd been out of town. I'm sure you'd get by. But remember John. Sister Campbell, did she get to come home today? Okay, let's remember Sister Campbell, and remember Brother Campbell as well. So remember both those. Brother Jeff Mifflin's stepdad passed away, and so if you would, remember their family in prayer. And Brandon, do you know any arrangements on that? I kind of figured before I asked you didn't, but thought it was worth a chance. But remember Jeff's family. Anybody else tonight have any, Brother Miller? Lorraine Farless. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Amen. Right? Amen. All right. That's Lorraine Farless. She's, what is she, 90-something? She's way up there, and she's in the hospital at Gateway. And her husband's Delmer. And so remember both of them in prayer. Brother Don's been trying to lead them to the Lord, so be praying for them. Amen. Somebody else tonight? Yes, Mary. All right. Let's remember Mark. Be praying for him. Dawn? All right. Let's remember Dawn tonight. Somebody else? Yes, Brother Jim? Okay. Amen. All right. Let's come to the altar tonight and let's pray for our service. Amen. The Lord will help us tonight.
shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come ahead, Brother Jackson. Church, let's get in and worship the Lord. Let's have church tonight, all right?
Turn to page 159 in the green books. Hallelujah. Sing, I am resolved. Praise God.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. I am resolved to enter the kingdom.
flip back over to page 70.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thankful for that blessed assurance. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Oh, this is my story. Oh, this is my love. Praising my Savior.
Echoes of birth.
that blessed assurance.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Sister Moon, can we sing, I Will Serve Thee? Mm-hmm.
Serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before You bowed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It really is my desire to live for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So often I failed and brought him but shame. But it's my desire to live for him, right? And we failed him so many times. Remember, God's faithful God. He still loves us, compassion for us, mercy, merciful towards us. Amen. He'd forgive us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Friday night at 7 o'clock, reception for Josh and Kayla here at the church. And we're working out the camp. There's a lot of things going on out there. And appreciate all of you that's volunteered to help out. Helped out in so many different ways. Lord bless you for that. A lot of hard work. A lot of hard work. But we're looking at youth camp 1 week from Monday. 1 week from Monday. So we've got a lot to do yet, don't we? And so if you can, jump in and help us out. And at any time, just about any time, there'll be somebody out at the camp working. And if you need, if you're going to be going out and you'd like to know what to do, if you'd give me a call, or I might be out there, you could take. But next week, be working hard every day. So we can use all the help we can get. Amen. So many of you have done so much already, and I was checking off the list. We've got a number of things already done. I appreciate you getting on it and getting things done. Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. Somebody stand and give the Lord praise tonight. Anybody? Sister Hoxie, go ahead. I want to hear your testimony. Yeah. God. Hallelujah. He will keep us.
Yes, he
Amen.
Will.
He's so good to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody else. Sister Wilma? God. Yes, he has. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Adair. Right. Praise God. Sure. Right. Amen. Right. Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Right. 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 Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Right.
Praise God. That's right. Right. Hallelujah. Right. Praise God. Wow. God, get a hold of him. That's right. That's right. Right. That's right. That's right. Praise God. Right. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right. Hallelujah. Right. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Right. Sure. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Right. Right. Come on. Right. You're right.
That's right.
That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Good testimony. Go ahead, Brother Ader. Praise God. You, Lord Jesus. That's right.
Every so often.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
What an opportunity to talk about the Lord, so we can pray.
Sure.
You know, I think the poor man in his simple state when I got up and was, sir, just have a good life. He didn't know how to text me, God bless you. But, you know, I spent a whole lot of time.
Right.
I don't know that. I was saying again, there was another lady from Montana we met. Her father was about to die. He said, he's probably not saved. Right then, we were in the kitchen around the park.
Right. Hallelujah.
I'm not a good restaurant. Man, I got to put a bushel of it on the spot this big to get it half covered. But if you keep sowing,
right,
sooner or later, if
right,
you catch your bread up on the water,
it will come,
it'll
back.
Come back. Good measure, fresh.
Sound shaking together,
right,
running off. Over.
Well, I just, it's a good trick. We missed the church, and Sundays we could be everywhere, but it's just a good sort of study.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. 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 Yes. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. Amen. God is still God. God is God there, no matter where you go. It's the same spirit, right? California, Alabama, Illinois, Missouri, Ohio. Wherever else they may go, it's the same. God is God and the same Spirit of God, right? Amen. I thank God that it is that way. Amen? Amen. That he is God. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. Amen. Texas, I forgot about Texas. No, I don't know if God is in Texas. Anyway, no. Oh, I got to be careful. Got too many Texans around here anymore. Amen. Sister Carrie, come sing for us. Brother Bob, you can testify. Tell us about your weekend. Amen.
Thank you.
Joshua tonight. The book of Joshua, chapter 6. And then we're also going to look in the book of 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord's just been so good to us, and I appreciate it. Amen. Our weekend here at the church, man, had a number of people away, but God was not away, right? Isn't that the good thing about the Lord? Amen. Praise God. He's always here with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Joshua chapter 6, and we'll read to you a couple of verses there, and then we'll flip over to the book of 1 Corinthians, read to you a couple of verses there. Hallelujah. Amen. Verses 17, we'll begin reading there, verse 17. Amen. I didn't bring my glasses tonight. Hold on, I'll get the right light here and then it helps. Verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are in that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. This one is getting ready to go into the city of Jericho, and they're going to go and do battle there against Jericho and take the city. Before they go in to do battle with Jericho, the Lord gives this instruction to the children of Israel that the city shall be accursed. Not only the city, but everything in the city. All the possessions, all the gold, all the silver, all the vessels. Everything in the city of Jericho was accursed. It's interesting that God would call it an accursed thing. So like almost like that there was something evil about the gold of Jericho or the silver of Jericho or the vessels of Jericho. It's not that those things were cursed things or that they carried a curse with them. But the difference was is the fact that they were devoted things. That's really what they were. They were devoted things. See, sometimes it's depending which way you look at something, whether it's devoted or accursed. All right? I hope I can share this with you tonight. These were accursed things. Why were they accursed? Because they were given to God. And they belonged to the Lord. And so to take something from God, it was an accursed thing. And it would place a curse upon the people of Israel. Because they were taking something that belonged to God. They were taking that thing that was devoted to the Lord. See, the children of Israel had just come out of bondage, had just come out of slavery. These guys, they had taken from the Egyptians and they had looted the Egyptians. But, you know, when they came out of Egypt, they were not a strong nation. They were slaves. They were slaves. And when they came out of Egypt and they came into the promised land, and the first city, the city of Jericho, God claimed everything in it. God claimed it all. These were not wealthy people. These were not people with great wealth, but these were people that God had His hand on. And that God was going to take care of and He's going to provide for him. But He said, all of Jericho belongs to me. Where is He going to put it? He says, it'll go into the treasury of the Lord. A treasury of the Lord. By placing it in these things of great value into the treasury of the Lord, Men, the people have a greater respect for the things of God. A greater value is attached to the things of God. Now these things were taken into, these things were taken into the house of the Lord or to the tabernacle. Now there's a greater value placed upon the tabernacle. They asked, was it Jesse James? They asked, why Jesse James? Why rob banks? He said, that's where the money's at. Right? That's why he robbed the bank. He knew where the value was. What good is it to say you have a bank and you can have a vault, but if you don't have anything in it, if it's empty, it's not worth anything. Who wants to rob an empty bank, right? But here the tabernacle of God has been filled, the treasury of God has been filled with the gold and the silver and the vessels of Jericho. This, the wealth of this city has been carried in to the tabernacle of God. Now there is a greater value affixed to the things of God and to the tabernacle of God. Now when they think about the things of God, they see it as the value of Jericho. All of the gold and all the silver of Jericho carried into the house of the Lord. You know, sometimes when we get saved and we come out of our bondage, when we come out of our bondage and we come into the blessings of Christ, amen, God starts putting His fingers on things in our life that belong to Him. It's not that the thing is a curse until God puts His finger on it and says, that is mine. And once God has placed His finger on it and it becomes devoted to Him and He lays claim to it, then it becomes an accursed thing to you. Maybe at one time before you could do it with it and have it, it wouldn't bother your conscience, but now you're touching the accursed thing. Now you're touching the accursed thing. There are people that maybe they may be able to go about and do things in the world that does not affect them. But because you are a child of God, and because God has laid His finger on things in your life and said, that belongs to me, it is now an accursed thing to you because He has devoted it to Him. That's why we say others may, I may not. You know, others can, I cannot. Amen. Others may be able to enjoy some things, but God has put His finger on it and said, this belongs to me. This belongs to me. And it is an accursed thing. And but when God starts laying claims to things in our life, and we realize those things now belong to God, right? Those things that we once treasured, those things that we once loved, those things that we once held dear to our heart, those things that we once enjoyed, now they belong to God. Those things that once used to satisfy our flesh, those things that used to satisfy the body, now they belong to the Lord. And now we have it. Now our salvation and our relationship with God has a greater value because now we have invested so much more into our relationship with God. Because now there are so many things that are devoted in our life. Remember that there should be things in your life that are accursed. Let me just, some of these may be touchy to you. I hope not. Man, tithing, a tenth. It's devoted unto the Lord. It's a devoted thing. God has laid His finger on that and says, that belongs to me. That belongs to me. That's a devoted thing. Right? It's something that is devoted to God. He has laid claim to that. God is not a God that He takes nine tenths and only leaves you a tenth. But God only lays claim to the tenth, to the tithe, and He says, that belongs to me. And so that area of in our life, when we to that tenth, that tithe, is an accursed thing to me. In the eyes of the Lord, He has devoted it to Him. And it is devoted to God. But now, for me, that is an accursed thing. For me to consume it for myself would be to bring a curse upon my life.
Right.
Sometimes we don't realize, we think, it's just money. It's just money. It's just dollars. But it is a devoted thing to the Lord.
Yes, it is.
It's something that very God very specifically has asked for and consecrated unto Himself.
Yes.
And for us to consume it for our own self, it is an accursed thing.
Yes, it is.
It's an accursed thing, and therefore we bring a curse upon ourselves. What the Lord tell the children of Israel, if you take of these things, you will bring a curse upon your own life and upon Israel.
Yes, it is.
And upon Israel.
Right.
That's just one little area of our life that God has laid His finger. But God also says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Right.
So that's the Lord's day.
Right.
God said, in that day, don't labor, don't work. That is the Lord's day. That is a day devoted unto God.
Right.
That is a day that is separated unto Him and consecrated unto Him.
Yes.
And then sometimes we kind of fudge on all those kind of dates and all those days and all that. And we say, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. My ox is in a ditch. And sometimes our ox is in a ditch. I understand that. But you got to be careful that you don't touch the devoted thing that has become an accursed thing to us. I know that you will have to work. Maybe you'll be scheduled and you'll have to do that. Amen. I understand that. But there is a purpose in what God's reasoning is. God is not a hard taskmaster that He asks for 6 days and only gives you 1 day to work. But God says, 6 days shall you labor, and on the seventh rest. God is doing it not only for our benefit, but so that there's a day that we settle, that we rest, and we seek after the Lord. And we seek after God. It is a consecrated thing unto the Lord, and therefore it becomes an accursed thing to us. These are things that are in our life, and there's a number of them. And time would fail us to go through them. But that is just some of the laws of God and the law of God. But let us take it to a more personal level. Because in every one of our lives, God lays His fingers upon something in our life and says, that is mine.
Yes,
that is mine. And maybe no matter who may agree or disagree, and really no matter if you find it in the Bible or not. Wait, that's not Bible. I can't find scripture and verse for that. God don't have to have scripture and verse to ask you for anything. God don't have to have the word. He can ask you for anything in your life. Consecrate that to me. What did He say to Abraham? Go and sacrifice your son. He placed His finger upon it. He said, this son is mine. He'll be mine. He's going to be mine. I want you to sacrifice him unto me. That son was devoted unto God. He was devoted unto God and to Abraham. It became as an accursed thing, his very own son. And I believe that's why he was willing, amen, to plunge the knife into his son and to give his son's life. But God gave it back. But it was a devoted thing for Abraham. God asks for things in our life. God lays His finger upon things in your heart and in your life every day. If you're conscious of the fact that God is working in your life, He'll lay His finger upon things in your life and said, that's mine.
Yes, He will.
That's mine.
Amen.
There's times that, we need to be more sensitive to the Lord that God would, when God lays claim to things in our life. There's areas of our life that need to be more devoted to Him. Has God ever spoke to you and asked for that consecrated thing? Has He ever put His finger upon something of your life? See, it don't matter what it may be. It could be in your motives, it could be in your personality, it could be in your attitude, it could be in your dress, in your appearance. It could be in a lot of different areas where God puts His finger upon your life. You know what? God, there are maybe things in your life that God says, look, that is mine. That's right.
Amen.
Jewelry?
Sure.
Yeah. I mentioned that because there was a time that I felt like God specifically spoke to my heart. Specifically spoke to my heart and said, that's mine. Not in those words, And it wasn't done like that. But I realized that God had made me devote that to Him. Did God want my jewelry? No, He didn't want it. But what He wanted was my willingness to consecrate that to God. And no longer was it something that I pursued after or was I interested in. It was easy, at that time, it was easy for me just to lay it down and be done with it. And I felt like that I could never go back to it. It is a devoted thing to God and it became a curse to me. We need to be sensitive to God and realize that God is going to ask for things in your life. Is God wrong to do that? No. Does God have purpose in doing that? Yes. And when God says that, is He serious about it? Yes, He's serious. When He asks for those things in our life, to consecrate them to Him and dedicate them things to Him. Every one of our lives is a walk with God, amen, where God is continually dealing with our life. Book of 1 Corinthians, and I know you probably have read it before, and you know, but I want to read it to you again. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Now listen to these words. Here's what I want you to look at. And ye are not your own. What? Ye are not your own. What do you mean? God has laid His finger on your life and said, you are mine.
That's right.
You are mine.
Yeah.
You are not your own.
Right.
You are not your own, but you have been bought with the price. You have been redeemed. You have been bought with Christ. You are not your own. That is why our life is to be a life consecrated to Him. Our life is dedicated to the Lord. And when we begin to serve God, we give ourselves to Him. And we yield ourselves to Him. And He says He lays claim to our life. And so He has a right to lay claim to any area of our life. It belongs to Him. You are not your own. You've been bought with the price. And so now you are not your own. So now when we go back to taking our own self back, it becomes an accursed thing to us. Is God serious about the accursed thing? Yes, He is. When we go back to the city of Jericho, we find that God does the victory. And we find one man by the name of Achan. Achan goes and he sees a Babylonian garment, a wedge of gold and a wedge of silver. He takes that and he hides it in the floor of his tent and he hides it before God, thinking nobody will ever know. And yet God knew what it was. Now out of all the gold of Jericho, out of all the silver of Jericho, out of all the treasured things of Jericho, how much would a wedge of gold and a wedge of silver and one garment, how much would it mount up to? If you laid it all out and you had it all piled together, you would have just a little bitty pile on this side and you would have this humongous pile over here. And these are all the things that God is going to get. And all He's missing is one wedge of gold, one wedge of silver, and one garment. It really shouldn't matter, should it? Why? Why should it matter? I mean, that there's just something so small compared to all that God is getting. Compared to, look at this huge thing. All this gold, all these vessels, all of this silver, all of these wonderful treasures, and they belong to God. Surely God does not care about one wedge of gold, one wedge of silver, and one garment. But we find that God does care. He does care. Do you think that God does not care? Let's look at the Scripture. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that Israel went against the city of Ai. And when they went against the city of Ai, the men came charging out and fear came into the heart of the people of Israel. And they turned and fled. And 30-something men died in battle that day in the battle of Ai. Why? Joshua was upset at God. Why did you leave us? Why did you do this to us? Why did you do this? And God said, because there is sin in the camp. Wait a minute. What do you mean sin in the camp? Because somebody has taken of the accursed thing. What? Lord, we gave you all of that. What could be missing? When after all the lots are drawn and everything comes down to the house of Achan. Achan they go into the tent of Achan, they pull out the garment, they pull out the wedge of gold and the wedge of silver, just little things that they could hold in their hands, little bitty things. And for that, the whole nation of Israel was cursed. The whole nation of Israel was cursed because of those little things. You see, the little area of your life, you feel like, I've given God so much of my life. I've given Him all of this. I've done, devoted so much to the Lord. I'm holding back this one little thing. It surely don't matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does matter. You say, but I've sanctified this, this, and this, and this. But if God has laid His finger on something in your life and said, this is mine, it is an accursed thing. And if you are taking of the accursed thing, or if you are consuming the accursed thing of your own lust, amen, you are bringing a curse upon your own life, upon your own family. Why should it matter? It's so small. It's so small, it really shouldn't matter. God laid His finger on it and said, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. There are things in your life. Amen. Maybe it's some of the things that you are wearing that God put His finger on and said, that is mine. Amen. I claim it. It's mine. Now it is an accursed to you. If you ever go back, you can say, but Lord, I'm praying more than I've ever prayed. I'm reading more than I've ever read. I'm going to church more than I've ever gone to church. It really don't matter because God said that was mine.
Amen.
You make a commitment to God. And God asks for something in your life. Right? You make a vow to the Lord. You make a commitment to the Lord because God has asked for something in your life. When you go back on it, you are going back on the accursed thing. That which has been devoted to the Lord. Somebody take off shouting right now, please. It's not pleasant. Was God being cruel to the people of Israel? No. No. But right from the start, God set forth the principle, these are mine. All of the other cities that they were going to take, all the other cities that they were going, everything else that they would conquer, it would all belong to them. They would get rich off of all the loot and all the gains of the Canaanite land. They would get rich and they would enjoy all the bounty of it. But God laid claim to this. Let me tell you, you're going to enjoy all the blessings of serving God. God's going to bless your home and bless your family. And you're going to enjoy all the blessings to come. But God has laid His finger on your life to sanctify your life and to consecrate your life to Him. And when you go back on it, you're touching the accursed thing. Real quickly, number one, what can you expect when you touch the accursed thing? You can expect defeat. You can expect defeat. Let me just use tithing for example. Those that have touched the accursed thing and they're tithing, you cannot expect for God to bless you financially. You're putting money in bags with holes in it. Hear me? You're putting money in bags with holes in it. You cannot expect for God to bless you. You will find that you will suffer defeat in your life. Wherever you think that you will succeed, you will fail. Wherever you think is a good investment, it will crumble around you. You will find defeat in every area of your life. Amen. That is what happens when you have touched the accursed thing. The children of Israel, they were cursed. And when they went to battle, they were defeated. They lost their power. They lost their strength. They lost their courage in battle. And how do you ever think you're going to stand against the enemy when you have lost all that you had? Amen. You will have lost all your power because you are touched the accursed thing in your life. When you consume the accursed thing in your life, you will not be able to stand against temptation. And it begins the downfall of your life. Children of Israel suffered defeat and you will suffer defeat. Notice what else happened to Achan. Achan suffered death. He paid a price. If you don't pay your tithe, we're going to kill you. No. No. There's something worse than that. It's called a spiritual death. Something worse than that is a spiritual death. You think, Lord, why can't I feel You? Why can't I experience the move of God in my life? Lord, why don't I feel the moving of the Holy Ghost like I used to? Lord, why do I, when I shake myself as in times before, I don't feel anything? It's because you, like Samson, have touched the thing that God said, that's mine. And when you touch the thing that God lays claim to in your life, you can expect spiritual death. God can't bless you when you've touched the accursed thing. There's something worse than what, you know, when I read the story of Achan, I think, hey, Achan knew. He brought it on to himself. He knew what the rule was. He knew what the law was. He disobeyed God. He got what was coming to him. That's my opinion, right? But when we read the scripture, we find not only did Achan die, but we find now that his wife, his children, and all of his descendants died with him. That's a big price to pay. Do you realize that not only will you suffer the consequences of touching the accursed thing, but everybody that you're, those around you, suffer the consequences of the accursed thing? What about those families, those families of the 30 men that died in battle? What about the families, those children of the 30 men who lost their dad in battle? Amen. Because Achan disobeyed God. Let me tell you, if there's a high price to pay, and when you think about that, when you think about all that they suffered, amen, you say, Lord God, I don't want to touch the accursed thing. That thing that you've laid your finger on in my life and you seem to lay claim to it, Lord. I want to leave it to you. I don't want my children to have to suffer the consequences of my actions. I don't want my family to suffer the consequences. I don't want my home to suffer the consequences. I don't want my church to suffer the consequences. Amen, of me touching the accursed thing. Amen. We can't stress this. It's so important. Because God has laid His finger on things in every one of our lives and He said, these are mine. These are mine. It wasn't that the gold was corrupted. That's not, the gold was probably as beautiful as ever. But the fact was, God said, it belongs to me, and so therefore is an accurse to you. Amen. You are not your own. You are not your own. You belong to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, but that's a high price to pay. It's a high price to pay. It's not a high price to pay when you figure all that God has done for you. All that God has blessed you with. And all that God has given for you. You are not your own. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? Oh, wait, I can't just leave you like that. You all are so down. Man, you guys act like I just asked for your last dollar. Some will do that. Don't be so down. Because you know what? It's God's plan for us to have victory. It's God's plan for your family to inherit and then be blessed and enjoy all the milk and honey of Canaan's land. I believe there's great blessings for those that have lived their life committed to the Lord. Amen. Recognize the accursed thing. Recognize what belongs to God. And then say, Lord God, it belongs to you. I don't want to touch that, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know what? I find that the more that God asks of me, the more that He has of me, amen, the more and the closer I feel to Him. Amen. Amen. The more I love Him, the more I enjoy Him. Amen. Because He's asked more of me and He continues to say, that's mine. That's mine. That's mine. If you have two cars in the driveway, one of them's a Hummer H3, and one of them is a beat up 1989 Ford pickup, all rusted out and the engine's blown. And the Lord says, I want your truck. Oh, good Lord, I've been wanting to get rid of that thing out of the driveway anyway. It's making my yard look bad. We're willing to give the things that are not worth anything. But God don't usually ask for the trash in your life. He asks for the things that you love. He asks for the things that are dear to you. Why does God do that? Because God wants to know, do you love Him enough? Lovest thou me more than these? How much do you love the Lord, right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Max, he went to service one night, and I might have told you this story. If I did, enjoy it again. Went to service one night with him and his wife, and there's a guest evangelist there. The guest evangelist had a car that was absolutely on its last wheel. It was a horrible shape. It was such bad shape. During the service, while the preacher was preaching, God started dealing with Brother Max's heart. And God spoke to him and says, I want you to give your car to this evangelist. Brother Max, like most of us, says, that ain't gonna happen. I need my car. Well, he went down and after the end of the service, he began to pray. His wife, Sister Karen, was down praying, seeking the Lord. Afterwards, they got done praying, and they was on their way home, driving in that car. Sister Karen said, Max, I need to talk to you about something. So the Lord spoke to me tonight. The Lord told me that we need to give our car to that evangelist. It's a good thing he didn't wreck it, right? Some of you would have probably wrecked it. He said, well, Karen, we can't. We can't do it. So the bank holds the title on this car. There's a lien against it. We can't give this to him. Can't do it. I know, but that's what I felt like. So they talked about it a little bit, and Max said, you know what, tomorrow morning, I'll talk to the banker. I'll tell him what the story is, and I'll just tell him. He ain't going to give us the title, but I'll tell him what's going on, and we'll see what he says. He said, that's fair enough. He went in the next day and went into the banker, sat down in the office with the banker and explained the situation. We was in church last night. I felt like the Lord spoke to me. My wife felt like the Lord spoke to her. Bankers understand that kind of talk. He felt like the Lord told us both that we were supposed to give our car to this man. But we know there's a lien on it, and you guys have the title. Banker said, yeah. I said, hold on just a second. He walked out. A few minutes later, he came back in. He gave Max the title. He said, here you are. Said, what? I said, there it is. You're good for it. Go and give the car. Max went, drove the car down, dropped it off at the evangelist, gave him the title, left. He told me, he says, I've never seen that evangelist again. I don't even know whatever happened to him. Don't know where he's at, what he's doing in the ministry. I know absolutely nothing about it. But it was God testing him. God's blessed Brother Max and Sister Karen many times over about that car, but God's blessed them considerably. But it was their fact that God put his finger on something and said, that's mine. That's mine. Let me ask you, are we open enough to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit that God would say, that's mine? Many of us would probably have to every month pay for a payment that we don't have a car. Right? Probably say, Lord, I hope you know what you're doing. That evangelist never sent me a thank you card. Sure hope you know what you're doing. Lord, I'm making another payment. When God says, that's mine. That's mine. And I'm not talking just finances, but it's every area of our life. Right? That God deals with our heart. That's where you'll find real victory, church. That's where you find real blessings of God, is when you're willing to say, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. When the Spirit of God puts his finger on it in your life and says, it's mine. It's devoted to him. It's a curse to you. Amen. Dear Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, God, I don't know why you impress this on my heart, Lord. Lord, I don't know why, Lord Jesus, that you would move on us like this, Lord Jesus. But God, I believe in every one of our lives, most of us, oh God, if not every one of us, have experienced just what we're talking about tonight. when you've laid your finger on some area of our life and said, it's mine. It's mine. And Lord God, for us to go and touch that accursed thing, Lord, it's like going back and digging up our past sins. Lord, I ask, Lord Jesus, God, if there's one here tonight, Lord God, that's touched the accursed thing, I pray, God, that you'd let them find forgiveness. God, that you'd allow them to make it right, that they'd find mercy, Lord Jesus. God, help us, Lord God, to right the wrong in our life and devote those things to you, Lord Jesus, and consecrate those things to you, which you've asked for in our life. And God, if there's one tonight, Lord, maybe you're dealing with them and you're asking for things and they can feel the finger of God being laid upon their heart even now tonight, Lord. God, I would ask you, Jesus, that you would help them, give them the courage they need to say, yes, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. I consecrate it to you. Lord, I ask you to deal in every one of our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name.